Welcome to Conversations Live. For more than a decade, we've brought you the best in books, entertainment, celebrity interviews, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us first. Now celebrating 17 years of broadcasting success, here's your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again, both for our radio audience here in the South, but also those joining us worldwide through our podcast and online affiliates. We're glad you all could be with us as well. Michael Alago is making his first appearance on our program today, and he has written a powerful book that definitely should be on your must-read list. It's called I Am Michael Alago, Breathing Music, Signing Metallica, Beating Death. We'll talk to Michael about what it's been like for him to be able to share his life with all of us, what it's been like for him to do work that he loves, and then, of course, to be able to have a career that many people would love to have, but also the lessons he's been able to learn along the way. If you guys are just now finding out about Michael's book, of course we'll let you know how to get your own copy of it. But, Michael, thank you so much for the time. Really appreciate it.
Oh, Cyrus, nice to be here. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, look, I appreciate the time. Look, you have definitely lived a life. You know, when people normally talk about a life well lived, you know, you have been able to do the things, Michael, that people just dream about. After reading your book, I thought to myself, you know, wow, many people would love to have a fraction of this journey you've had. What was the reflection like for you to be able to think about what you've done and the impact you've been able to have?
Well, you know, I can't believe that I'm still alive. I don't want to sound so dramatic or anything, but I just turned 60 last October, and it's been wonderful. You know, I have there's a movie about me called it has a provocative title called Who the F Is That Guy? The Fabulous Journey of Michael Alago. It's on Netflix. A little book company called Backbeat Books saw the movie, loved it, and wanted to know, do I have more stories to tell for a potential book? And I thought to myself, do I have more stories? You know, in 77 minutes in a documentary, you can't tell everything. So, yes, I let them know I had lots of stories. And stories I have, you know, I talk about in my book, I Am Michael Alago, you know, I believe I came out of the womb loving music. And as time went by as a teenager, I never had a plan B. I always just thought, I'm going to be in music. I don't know what that meant as a 14 or 15-year-old. I watched all the music TV shows like Don Cornelius' Soul Train, Dick Clark's American Bandstand, and they had a wide variety of types of artists on those shows. So at an early age, my ears were attuned to everything from David Bowie to Aretha Franklin. I don't even know if that's the question you asked me, but I just feel like I just went off on some kind of tangent.
Hey, not a problem at all, Michael. Michael, but, you know, something that you mentioned, it reminded me, you know, of what I had actually heard in another interview that you had talked about. You know,
sure.
I have found for myself that music seems to be almost a universal language. And what you just shared of going from everyone from Dick Clark to Don Cornelius really shows how music can speak to you in such a great way. Do you think that has been the connection for you and not only coming out loving music, but then to be able to have a successful career in music?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, like I said, I was very focused. I knew nothing about anything except music. And if we want to fast forward to when I'm 19 years old, I am walking down a street in the East Village of New York City, and I see a building, gorgeous vintage-type building, Art Deco, and there's a little white sign on the door, video club opening. It's 1980. It's the advent of MTV. And I go into this club, I look around, and I see a gentleman in the balcony, and he said, "Kid, we're not open." I said, "Well, I want a job in the music business." And He thought it was funny. He said, "Do you have a resume?" I said, "No, I go to the School of Visual Arts and I work in a pharmacy." Well, I don't know. He found some humor in that, and he called me up to his office. We started talking about the Great American Songbook. We started talking about the underground music and what was going on in New York. His name is Jerry Brandt, and he gave me a job, and that was my first job in the music business, and I was thrilled. I was thrilled. And as we moved forward, I worked for record companies for 25 years as an A&R executive. And I loved all types of music. And I would get cassettes every single day of my life of independent artists who wanted to be on a label. And, you know, a lot of the stuff was not good. Some of it was good. And rarely was it great. But I had to hone in my ears to thinking about only signing great artists. And I managed to do that because I think I had great taste in music, and I hope that doesn't sound egotistical. And I just knew, like, wow, I want to work with these young people in Metallica. Wow, Nina Simone hasn't made a record in 12 years, and I want to be that person to make a record with her. And so I felt blessed to have this job. For 25 years I did A&R, and, you know, my life in those 25 years, there were ups and downs, and I had a drug and alcohol problem for a long time. I got sober. I got very ill with HIV/AIDS in the 90s when there was no medication over 30 years ago. I survived that. And so, you know, so I am clean and sober 13 years. I know I just went off on another tangent, but, you know, everyone loves music. Music is so healing. And,
right.
You know, depending whether you like classical, whether you like rhythm and blues, whatever is your choice, music can, as they say, music soothes the savage beast. So
right.
I think I, again, went off on a tangent, but I think that's okay. No, sometimes my mind is just all over the place, Yaris.
Well, look,
yes, please.
Again, with all that you've been able to do, I can totally understand that. There is something I do want to talk to you about. It ties back into the book, I Am Michael Alago,
okay.
Is that you're able to share not only, of course, the love of music and the passion you had for it, Michael, but
mm-hmm.
also, you know, we all have heard that saying, a picture's worth a thousand words.
Yes.
What has the pictures been like for you in being able to look at and to be able to think about the story that those pictures tell? Because you also have a love of photography yourself. What was it like for you to kind of reflect on your life in pictures?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the publishing company gave me 30 pictures contractually, and I said, honey, that's not going to work. So I got them to up it to about 85 pictures. I loved seeing pictures of me and my family in Brooklyn, you know, in the late 50s and the early 60s. It really did. It filled me with joy. And then because of my love of photography, I took lots of pictures. I was at concerts all the time, so I collected lots of pictures from friends who, you know, shot artists that I've worked with. And so pictures, I was always a fan of photographs. Like you said, I love the stories that they tell. And I felt privileged that I was able to put them in my book. And the book,
go ahead. No, you go ahead, Michael.
No, I was going to say, you know, the book runs the gamut for people who don't know in the audience that I talk about my 25 years as an A&R executive. I talk about addiction and recovery. I talk about health issues, having, like I said, having full-blown AIDS in the 90s and surviving that when there was no medication. So now, you know, I lead a clean and sober life. I go to 12-step meetings every morning at 9 o'clock at 9 a.m., and that saved my life so that I could have this new life where I am responsible, people can rely on me, and, you know, what a joy that is to wake up in the morning clear-headed in your own bed and feeling healthy, and, you know, I didn't want to just write a book about music. Although music is my life, I feel if
right.
somebody was going to read a book, and like my movie as well, you got to give everybody the whole picture, and you got to tell the truth. And when you tell the truth, people really respond to that. And when you tell the truth, I'm hoping that certain truths of mine help people if they're suffering. Because, you know, when you're suffering out there, all you got to do is ask for help. And when you ask for help, you get the help that you need.
Yeah, so true. Let's hope, right? I mean, and I think that's the thing.
Yes, I like to think that, sure.
Yeah. And I think that brings up another interesting point. I want to say, though, for those who are just tuning in, is on the radio side or online, you're listening to Conversations Live. Michael Alago is our guest for this segment. We're discussing his life, the journey to where he is today, and the book that I had a chance to read called I Am Michael Alago, Breathing Music, Signing Metallica, Beating Death. You just heard him allude to all three of those things. Michael,
sure.
I want to go back to the title, though, because I mentioned this to you before we began the segment, that I think the title is so interesting because so many times people like to define individuals by one chapter of their life. What was it like for you to look at everything that has been a part of your life, the ups and the downs that you mentioned, the highs and the lows, and to be able to look in the mirror and say, I am Michael Alago?
Oh, well, you know, at first, I didn't know if I could do it. I have a bit of a scatterbrain, which means I probably indulged too much back in the day. But, you know, I, as a young kid in Brooklyn, I started writing journals. Now, the journals at an early age were not creative writing. It wasn't poetry. It was like taking the B train to Union Square to go to Max's Kansas City. The Dead Boys and the Damned are playing for three nights in a row next weekend at CBGB. So I had many compositions books of lists. So once I started looking at all of these journals that I kept throughout my whole life, I thought, wow, this is going to be fun. I'm going to need some help to keep the focus. And so an old dear friend of mine, Laura Davis Channon, helped me with this. And we just went through all of the journals. And sometimes, you know, when you have to talk about family issues and molestation, it's not fun. But to get it off your shoulders, to be able to eventually get help for things like that. I just thought, like I said, I wanted to tell people about all parts of my life in hopes that if they were going through some of the same things I'm going through, they could ask for help. And then after a while, it just got fun going out every single night, seeing everybody from Metallica to Nina to Liza Minnelli to, Madonna, everybody. I was out every night in New York City. So the breathing music, like I said at the beginning of the interview, was I had no other interest. I had no plan B. Signing Metallica as an A&R executive, which A&R stands for Artist in Repertoire. It is the most important department of a record company. If you don't have great artists and you don't make great records, you're out. So signing Metallica was the biggest thing that I did in my career. And then Beating Death. Like I mentioned, I had a terrible drug and alcohol problem. I had full-blown AIDS, and I literally did almost die twice from that. Now, you can't cheat death, because we're all going to get there, but I did beat it twice. So I just thought the whole name of the book just made sense. The title of the book was just very powerful and diverse, and I would hope that when somebody saw a title like that, Breathing Music, Signing Metallica, Beating Death, it would interest them enough to pick up the book and read it.
Right. I think it definitely will do that, and we're about to remind our audience that they can get it. Last thing I want to talk to you about, Michael, and again,
please,
I appreciate this time, you know, is about the message for us, because you are sharing your own life. Is that what you hope when people look at your journey, not just at the glitz and the glam, but they do think about that you're making the most of each and every day?
Well, yes, I do make the most of each and every day because of the trials and tribulations that I went through growing up. And I'm glad that I came out on the other side. And like I always like to tell people, when you tell the truth, people respond to that. People have more questions for you. And like I said also, when you are out there in the world, I would hope that I am a responsible human being, so that people respond to that and that they want to talk to me about my life. And, you know, I don't really give advice, but I like to let people know the positive things that have worked for me, like with my drug and alcohol addiction. These days, I just go to a one-hour meeting every morning, and that helps my mind so much to stay in the present, to know that none of that works for me anymore. So I'm a clean and sober person. So I don't know. Did I answer your question?
You did. Yeah, you definitely did. And I think that is the big thing for people to be able to be able to look at themselves, to know who they are, and to love the person that they are. I think that's the greatest gift we can give ourselves.
Listen, I think, you know, with whatever we are going through, it's always about one day at a time. That's all we have is today. And we have to be grateful for that. So when I wake up in the morning and I make my bed, I have my tea, I say my prayers. Sometimes they're the old Catholic school prayers, and sometimes I just look out the window and I say, thank you, God, or higher power, for waking me up. Thank you for waking me up sober. Thank you for the renewed relationship with my sister Cheryl since Mom passed 2 years ago. And that list goes on. And when you have a list of thank yous, and sometimes when you just say thank you, that's a prayer in itself. But I have a list, and after that list, I am so filled with gratitude that I just get on with the day from there.
Wow. What a great thing. And what a great thing for all of us to be able to look forward to be able to get to that place as well, Michael. Again, everyone, Michael Elago has been our guest. The book is called I Am Michael Elago, Breathing Music, Signing Metallica, Beating Death. It is available through our friends at Amazon.com, both in print as well as the Kindle edition. I got the Kindle edition. You guys can get it there. Also, of course, your favorite bookstore can order it. If they don't have it, they'll be more than happy to do that for you. And, Michael, how can our audience stay connected with you?
Sure. I am crazy about social media. And on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, it's my full name, Michael Anthony Elago. So you could find me there, and my pages are always filled with music and art and theater and positive affirmations and meditations and thoughts and prayers of the day. And I do that every single day after I do my ritual in the morning, you know. So that's where they can find me, all three of those platforms, under Michael Anthony Elago.
All right, so make sure you guys take advantage of that. Michael, congratulations to you again. I really do appreciate this time, and looking forward to having you back on the program again.
I would love it, and thank you, Cyrus, for having me, and big hello to your audience out there. And remember, in this crazy world that we're living in, we got to be kind to each other, because if we're not kind, I don't know what we're doing here. You know, and that kindness is a domino effect. And I'm not Pollyanna or anything like that. But when someone is kind, that just, like I said, it's a domino effect that ripples and it just becomes bigger and bigger. And, you know, I want to live in a better world every day of my life. So I'm kind to everyone I meet, even if I don't think I like them.
Well, look, you're definitely doing your part, Michael.
Yeah, okay.
For sure. Again, everyone, Michael Elago has been our guest. Make sure you guys get your copy of the book, I Am Michael Elago, and thank you all for tuning in to this episode of Conversations Live. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live today. Let's make today amazing. Take care.